I think that the biggest lesson is that don't be afraid to try. Failure is not the end. It's just the stepping stone to bigger success in the future.
You're listening to Wealthy Advisor Mindset Podcast, a show dedicated to helping financial advisors grow their AUM while enjoying a great quality of life by creating a high performance mindset. Guiding you on this podcast is none other than Nina Cook, a seasoned mindset coach who has worked with hundreds of business owners over the last decade to dissolve all their self-sabotaging behaviors and habits to achieve their business goals so they can have a much bigger impact and make much more money. Throughout the show, we'll deliver actionable strategies to grow your practice more easily and quickly while revealing the incredible possibilities that emerge when you tap into your best self. Ready for a breakthrough that amplifies your impact and profits? Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome. I would like to give a very warm welcome to Calvin Sid. Calvin, it's such a pleasure to have you here. Calvin started working in the financial services industry back in 1992, where he discovered he has a passion for teaching his friends and co-workers about money and helping them get out of debt. He has a Bachelor of Business Economics from UCLA and an MBA in finance. He has achieved the CFP certification, which the Wall Street Journal rates as the gold standard in personal financial planning. Calvin is a member of the Financial Planning Association of Silicon Valley, where he helps coordinate pro bono events at the San Mateo Library. Calvin, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really excited to talk to you about your mindset and how it's helped you to achieve all the success that you have. And I'd really like to dig into the mindset that financial advisors can start to adopt to help them to grow their success as well. But first of all, I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey and how you came to setting up your practice and all the success you're enjoying with it. And in particular, what role did mindset play in your journey?
Well, thanks so much, Nina, for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. I've always actually been interested in financial matters. I bought my first stock when I was 12 years old, and always kind of interested in growing money and thinking about what money can do for me, probably for good and for bad. And so, like you read in my bio, people were always coming to me for financial advice, even coworkers who were working in the financial services industry. And I wasn't a financial advisor back then, but we were just cogs in a big corporate wheel. But people would be asking me about how I invested and asking me if I could invest their money. And I thought about it. I said, that'd be interesting, but how do I do that? Because what I knew was that I can easily brag about the stocks that I chose that did really, really well. But inside, I also kind of knew that the stocks, sometimes I just happened to come across these stocks by maybe just coincidence or luck. And so it wasn't because I had a superior analytical skills or anything like that. So I said, well, I'll teach you what I do, but I won't do it for you. And then one day, I was at church and one of my friends said, hey, Calvin, do you want to come to a client appreciation event held by my financial advisor? I said, and he told me that the guest speaker at the event would be Coach John Wooden of the UCLA basketball team. And he won 10 national championships in 12 years. So he's legendary in the basketball world, college basketball world. And I said, and I love UCLA basketball. So I said, yeah, I'd love to be there. So I went to this event, but I was also intrigued about, oh, this guy, he's a financial advisor. I'd like to talk to him more. And then so I just went up to him during the event. I said, hey, I know you're busy right now, but I'd love to just sit down and chat with you about what you do. And he said, sure, come on to my office. And he was very generous with me with his time. And he told me about what he did. I said, oh, that's something I'd like to do. And I asked him, how much do financial advisors make? He said, well, Calvin, I'll tell you this. Right now, I make enough money that I'm able to work 3 days a week and homeschool my kids the other 2 days a week. And I said, wow, that's amazing. I'd love to have a lifestyle like that. Where do I sign up? He said, but I will tell you that the first 2 years of my journey, I didn't make any money. I actually lost money because I had to shell out money for licenses and overhead and training and education and technology. So I didn't make any money. So I just kind of thought about that and said, wait a minute, I just paid for 2 years to go to one of the more expensive private business schools in the United States. And I can't make nothing. My mom will kill me. So I decided to go work for corporate finance. And I didn't enjoy my life in corporate finance. I mean, I made plenty of money, more money than I needed to live a kind of a simple bachelor lifestyle. But I wasn't happy. And I realized, okay, do I want to keep on doing this? And I said, in the back of my mind, I always thought about this job being a financial advisor. And I wondered if I would be more happy doing this. And so, lo and behold, in 2002, HP bought Compaq Computer. And then 12 months after that, I lost my job. I got laid off. And I thought that, okay, well, maybe this is my chance to do something. And so I think the mindset that I want to impress upon your viewers is that go ahead and just give it a try. Don't be afraid to fail. I asked a lot of people, all my friends, I went up to them and asked, Calvin, I said, do you think I should become a financial advisor? What do you think of me becoming a financial advisor? I just kind of have this thought in my head. And every one of them said, Calvin, if you become a financial advisor, I'll be your first client. And so that was very affirming to me. And they said, well, we know that you don't have any experience, but we know that you know finances. And we also know that you are a man of integrity who would never cheat us. So, because you have always lived your life as a life of integrity. So, so that was a lot of affirmation, and I got affirmation from other mentors and people that I respected, and they all affirmed to me that I should do it. I should give it a try. And so I said, okay, I have 2 years worth of savings in the bank. If I don't make any money, like my other financial advisor friend said, and use up all my money, then I can always go back to corporate finance. But and at least I can say to myself, and I said, at least I tried. I failed. I might have failed, but at least I tried. And I gave it my all for 2 years. And I worked hard. I really beat the pavement, pounded the pavement, and did whatever I could to find clients. And as they say, the rest is history.
Wonderful. There's so much to unpick in there. When did you become aware of your mindset and your attitude and your thinking and what sort of role it was playing in your life? When did you start thinking, hang on, maybe my mindset is hindering me. It's not helping me. Maybe I need to start changing the way I look at things. When did you become aware of that?
Many things happened along my life. I mean, actually, things you learn lessons from the strangest sources.
I read
a lot of books. I do read a lot of books. But one of the things, this is kind of almost a little bit embarrassed to say, one thing that changed my mindset was an episode of Star Trek. And in the episode, the captain had a chance to change his life do the safe thing in his life. He was able to go back into the past. This powerful, omnipotent life form just sent him back in the past. He was allowed to change something in his past, and he found out what happened if he had taken the safe route. basically, he never would have become captain in Starfleet. And I thought about that a lot. And I said, okay, if I could take the safe route, I could do what basically Robert Kiyosaki says, learn from the poor dad, play it safe, work for somebody, get a pension, and then just kind of retire and play it safe. But I kind of thought, you know, if I did that, I would live my life with regrets. And after watching this episode, reading Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, various other books, I realized, you know, it's worth it to take a chance and fail than to live a life of regrets.
Wow, that's very, very powerful. It sounds as if you felt aligned to being a financial advisor. It really, you know, fed into your goals. You wanted to serve, you wanted to help people. And this is something I think we come to sometimes skip over when we talk about, you know, having a business, having a practice, that we think, oh, I want to make money, I want to be able to look after my family. But we sometimes don't focus on how much satisfaction this is going to give me. How fulfilled will I feel doing this work? Because there's lots of ways of earning money and taking care of our family. But it's really being aligned with something that kind of feeds your soul and makes you feel good about what you do. Can you talk a little bit about that that sense of fulfillment that you have, you know, being a financial advisor and helping people?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, very early on, actually, one of the people I spoke to was a lady who was a life coach. And I asked her, hey, I'd just like to sit down with you and ask you, what do you suggest that I do? And so the first thing that she recommended to me was to define what it means for me to look, what it looks like if I was a successful financial advisor. And so a lot of people might say something like, oh, if I make $1 million a year or $5 million a year, which a lot of financial advisors do that. And I thought about that and I said, well, for me to be a success would be to help people change their mindset about money, to see money as the way God sees it. It's not about getting more and more and more. It's about using your money as just a tool to do the things that are important to you, accomplish your life goals, define what your life goals are and achieve them, because we can't take it with us. And so if people can accomplish that, if I can help people just to get into that mindset of, okay, I've accomplished that, I have had a successful life, then that for me is success. And so what she said back to me was, Calvin, that's a terrific attitude, that you did not say is to make a lot of money, because the attitude of making a lot of money is never satisfying, because there's always going to be someone else out there who makes more money than you. And it's a never-ending chase of trying to make more. Even the richest person at the turn of the previous century, the 19th century, J.D. Rockefeller, he was asked, Mr. Rockefeller, you're the richest person on earth. How much more do you need? How much is enough? And he said, just $1 more. Just $1 more, right? And so we got to have to define for ourselves and not have other people define for you, not have your mentors, not have your company say, oh, you reached the top of the top producer list. You're a success. But you have to define for yourself what is a success. And you have to define for yourself what is enough. How much money is enough for me to make that I can live the lifestyle that I am satisfied with and the kind of house that I want? I mean, there's always somebody with a bigger house. And my mindset of wanting to help people, I mean, this job is not for everybody. It's not for people who, I mean, you can make a lot of money doing this, but if your goal is money, then it's not going to, people are going to be able to tell. They're going to tell that you're trying to sell them on something. But people can right off the bat, they tell me, Calvin, we can tell that you're a person who's interested in helping me. And so because of that, I trust you. And you're not out there trying to sell me something. So having the client first mindset is very important. And a lot of people can say that. they can say, oh yeah, I think about my clients first, but in the back of their mind, when they talk to their client, oh, how much money am I going to be able to make from this client? What can I charge them that makes me the most, the highest amount of fees? And when you have that mindset, then you're not putting your client first. So you have to check yourself continuously.
Are you frustrated with your inability to take the next steps to grow your practice and worry that your same old tired strategies don't seem to work any longer? If this is you, then listen up. Nina has spent the last two decades coaching financial advisors and has cracked the code to growing AUMs, hitting bigger profits in your business, and achieving a higher quality of life. You can now get access to those secrets in her game-changing book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. In the book, Nina will share her proven process for success to take you from chasing clients to attracting high-paying ones by creating a success-driven mindset. So, if you're struggling with stagnation, then this could give you the breakthrough you've been searching for. This is different to anything you may have come across before. For being an awesome listener to this podcast, our team would like to gift you a free copy of the book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. You can get your free copy at ninabook.org. You only have to pay for shipping and handling. Once again, the link to get a free copy of this book is ninabook.org. The link is also in the description. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to grow your AUM and stop hustling for your next client. Now, back to the show.
That's so important. You lead with service and what you can do for that person to help them to look back on their life and think, my life has been successful. So when you're talking to a potential client, a prospect, what is your attitude to that prospect? You know, what are you leading with? Are you leading with, I want to see how I can help you? Is that, you know, what you're thinking as you're talking to a prospect? What are you leading with in your mind? What's your motivating factor that drives you?
How I can help them is exactly, it kind of leads everything. But with that question also comes, you have to be discerning too, because we have to realize, okay, there are some people out there that are, they're just kind of here to take advantage of me. And there's a lot of people who have just been out there just to get free advice. I'll give them a free hour of, I'll give away an hour. And then I have learned at this point who I can help and who I can't, right? The people that I can't help are the people who are the do-it-yourselfer, and they just want some free advice. And then so I'll give you free advice, and you know, I'll see you later. Have a good life. But and there are the people who come in who they have a kind of a know-it-all attitude. I was just speaking with this one lady, and I had presented her with several options that I thought were pretty good. And then she kind of rejected them all. At that point, I just said, you know, at this point, I think you should just take your money and put it in the bank. And I think otherwise, all these other options I give you, they don't fit your bill. And then she said, well, the bank? I mean, don't you know that all the banks are, doesn't everyone know that all the banks are going to fail? And I just kind of thought, okay, you have a preconceived mindset that is unteachable, that is not humble. And you realize, I can't help that person. They have the wrong attitude. So we have to discern for ourselves, do they have the right attitude? Are they humble? Are they are they respecting my advice as a professional and who has been in this business for 20 years now? So there's a lot of that. And that'll save you a lot of headache down the line by not taking on clients that, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money from this client, but they become a headache.
Exactly. Yeah. And you regret it later on. They take up too much of our time and energy. When you first started out as a financial advisor, I imagine that things were quite difficult at the moment. You said you were pounding the pavements. And it's so easy to become discouraged and start thinking, oh, nothing's going to work. It's going to be really hard. How did you get through that challenging time?
Before I actually started the business, I was interviewing around with various firms, and one of my interviews, the president of the company basically said to me, Calvin, I just want you to know and understand that in this business, 5 out of every 6 people who start drop out within 2 years. What is it about you that makes you think that you are the 1 out of 6? And so I had to think about that, and everybody has to answer that question for themselves. And so the underlying principle that I had was that I have grit. I have grit that I'm not going to give up. It is very discouraging. The first couple of years, there were times when I would just be sitting on my hands thinking, okay, I've rebalanced my clients' accounts again for the second time this month. And so now what do I do? Where am I going to get my next clients? And so so a lot of times I would just pray. I would just pray, and then somehow God did bring clients to me over time, and he brought the right clients and at the right amount of time. So having God on my side was gave me a lot of hope.
You had faith.
Faith in that I belonged here. Everybody told me that I would be a good financial advisor. So I hung on to those words. And I kept on reading and listening to positive podcasts and messages. And I took the time to learn from people who had gone before me, who were successful. And I sat down with them and said, hey, how did you get to where you are now? What do you recommend for me at this point in my career? What should I do? There's a lot of things that you can do. And it's important to not try to match your practice like somebody else, because you're not them. What they care about is not the same thing that you care about. One of the people that I admire is Ron Carson, who is probably the most successful financial advisor in history, right? And then so things he likes to do to market are he likes to take his clients to University of Nebraska football games, and he likes to have a 4th of July party at his house where they watch fireworks on the lake and have wine tasting. Those aren't me. Those are not the things that I care about. But he doesn't encourage us to be like him. He encourages us to do the things that we're passionate about, that I like to do. And so one of the marketing ideas that resonated with me was to do a Valentine's Day high tea for my clients who are widows. And I've done, and then that's something that I enjoy. My wife enjoys that. So I have an event like that every year, and I bring my clients who are widows, and they love it, and they just feel cared for. And so I do things like that resonate with me. So that's listening to mentors, listening to positive encouragements, reading positive books is what gets you through the rough times.
Yeah, it sounds as if you worked on your mindset through a variety of different ways, and you also took action. You didn't just sit there hoping for a client to walk in through the door. You were implementing and taking action to get the next client. And it's a combination of the two things, isn't it? It's having a mindset that helps you to make progress and take risks and keep getting back up when things don't go well, and then deciding what are the key steps I need to make in order to get the next client.
Right.
And you know, so it's the believing in the process. If I do this, then logically I'm going to get a client. If I keep, you know, marketing, if I keep doing outreach, etc., sooner or later someone is going to say yes and become a client. And then the momentum builds and you get to that tipping point where suddenly you're being referred and things get much, much easier. And the other thing that you said, which I really loved, is that you treat your clients like human beings. You know, you take care of them. They're not just dollar sign in your bank account. They're people, they've got their hopes, they've got their dreams, they've got their challenges, and you take that extra care of them, not so they'll spend more money with you or give you more money to manage, but because you genuinely want to look after them. And that is that soft, intangible bit, isn't it? Which customers and clients really, really appreciate. They get that extra bit of, you know, human connection. They will really remember that for a long time. It's how we make people feel, isn't it? That's the most important thing of all. It's not just a transaction. It's so much more than that. I think sometimes in business, we just look at people as transactions, but the people who looked after, they're the ones who will stay for a long, long time. Yeah. So how did you grow your success? What were the key points? And again, obviously, you know, we're talking about mindset. How did your, you know, as you became more and more successful, I imagine that your identity shifted along the way as well, because, you know, we're always in motion, aren't we, in terms of our thinking and who we are and who we become. How's that for you?
Over time, as I became more successful, I've learned to specialize more and more. And finding a niche is important. The people that you like to work with, and deciding the people you don't like to work with, and the people who don't fit your model. One of the things that is important that I realized that I needed to change is, before I came into this business, I was always an employee. And I know that there are financial advisors out there who are employees of wire houses, and so they're part of a team and they get paid a salary. I get that. Being an independent advisor, I keep most of my commissions and fees, but I'm also a small business owner. And changing from that mindset of being an employee to become a business owner is a big leap. And when I was working for a Fortune 500 company, everything was provided for me. I had IT support. I had secretarial support. If I needed supplies, I just go into the supply room. If my computer broke down, I just brought it to the computer guy. And so everything was taken care of, and all I had to do was just work. Well, when you're a business owner, you have to take care of all those things, and you have to decide, do I spend money on this or not? And that's very hard as a finance guy to say, okay, do I spend money on hiring a secretary? And that was a big hurdle for me to get over. To have an assistant, I was thinking, okay, man, I'm going to have to spend at least, at that time, it was like, I was thinking, okay, if I pay that person $30,000 a year, then that is going to take away, that's $30,000 less money that comes to me, right? And so that was my mindset, that I just thought of having an assistant as an expense. But we have to get to the mindset where we realize, okay, doing something like that, hiring somebody, is not just an expense, it's an investment into yourself, into your business, that it helps you to focus on what you do best. And focus on the things that only you can do yourself. Whereas there's a lot of other things. There's a lot of administrative issues, paperwork, and calling people that I don't like to do. I have her do it. And I pay her a lot more than that now, but it has helped my business to expand way beyond what I was able to do just being on my own. So, if you find that you're kind of plateauing and you can't get past the certain amount of production, you might need to get an assistant or two and have that person take care of the things that you don't like to do, so that I can't do them faster than she can, but then it takes time away. And the main bottleneck for me is time. I only have so much time. If I spend time doing something that pays somebody $20 an hour, that keeps me from activities that should be paying me $250 an hour. So having a change of mindset is, and looking at expenses as not just expenses, but as investments into your business, is a big factor of jumping from the employee mindset to an employer mindset, to a business owner mindset.
That is a big pivotal moment. And I remember the time when I was thinking of hiring a VA, and like you, I was thinking, oh, you know, I'll have to afford a VA. I have to get to the stage where I can afford a VA. And I spoke to a colleague And she said, I can't believe you don't have a VA. And she said, she's had one in her business for a while. And I thought, of course I need one. Of course I need one. This is going to stop me doing the lower cost per hour work, help me to focus on, you know, growing my business. Without that jump, and it's the leap, it's a leap of faith, isn't it?
It is, yeah, absolutely.
In a way, but without that leap of faith, then we cannot grow, because we cannot spread ourselves so thinly that we could do everything. It's just impossible. And then once you make that leap of faith, then you're just, you know, then you're able to do it again and again. That's a really, really important point. I'd love to know, when things aren't going well for you, how do you cope with that? How do you cope with setbacks and get yourself back up again without wasting too much time, you know, licking your wounds, as it were?
Yeah. One thing that I do is I have a coach. And I have a business coach who I talk to once a month. A big client decides to leave me. I mean, sometimes I tend to take that pretty personally. And but when I talk it out with somebody else who's been there, who can help me reframe what I've just gone through, it helps me to see it as a learning experience. Okay, I don't always provide excellent service to my client like I want to believe. I have to realize, okay, maybe I didn't provide as good a service to that client as I should have, and I let things slide. And I just handed it off to my assistant when I should have taken more ownership of that myself. And so because of that, the client was disappointed. So a coach, we all need somebody to come alongside us. And it's hard to do things alone, especially I'm generally here by myself. I mean, my assistant is here as well, but she's not there to encourage me. She's just there to do the work that I tell her to do. But I need somebody to come alongside me and to pick me up when I get down.
So important to have a coach, because we can't see our own blind spots. And as you said, it helps us to reframe things and move on much more quickly. You said time is a bottleneck. That way we don't waste time with our heads down a rabbit hole, feeling sorry for ourselves. We're able to get back much more quickly, become more resilient, courageous, and able to take the risks. Looking back through your life, what would you say is the biggest lesson that life has taught you so far?
I think that the biggest lesson is that don't be afraid to try. Failure is not the end. It's just a stepping stone to bigger success in the future. Whether it's asking a girl out on a date who eventually became my wife, or volunteering somewhere, or stepping out and taking a leadership position in an organization, that I just need to not be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try it. And because good things can come of it, to kind of write down, okay, what's the best thing that can come out of this if it's successful? What's the worst thing that can possibly happen? So kind of going through that mindset, using a coach to bounce ideas off of and help me answer those questions for myself is really a big thing. And so, one of the big issues I had was when I first hired my assistant, I was already in this 150 square foot office. And so, okay, well, I'm not going to get another office for her. So she was in this 150 square foot office with me. And whenever a client came in, she would have to go to the conference room or something like that. And then, so she really, with her laptop, she couldn't get things done. And so one thing that I was talking to one of my previous coaches, and then she asked me what my ideal business would look like. I said, I would like to have a space where I have two private offices and a reception area for my assistant to work while I'm talking to clients. And then she just asked me, well, how much does it cost? Oh, that would at least double my rent. Double your rent. What rent are you paying right now? I'm paying $750 a month. So double to $1,500 a month. What do you need to produce in order to get there? I just kind of thought about, you know, I've been making this excuse for a long time that, okay, if I get to $150,000 of production, I'll get it. I got there. And then, if I get to $200,000 of production, I'll get there. I got that. $250,000 of production, I got it. So I passed all those goals, but yet I was still afraid to spend the money and to take the leap of faith and get a bigger space that would be more comfortable for me, more comfortable for my assistant, and look more successful to my client. Because I had this, I just need to save every penny I can kind of mentality as a finance guy, right? So my conversation with her, I was on the internet looking for a space. I said, here's a space that fits my needs. And I moved there and it didn't really affect how I lived. I was able to afford it. And I needed somebody to tell me that I can afford it. And I don't have to worry about, I'm going to go into the poorhouse if it doesn't work. And so every step like that, I have to be afraid. I have to be willing to just give it a try. Don't be afraid to just put yourself out there.
And it's going that coach helped you to reframe it and for you to go from a scarcity, scared mindset to a more expansive mindset. Because there are always risks involved in every stage of our expansion when we make a decision to up our rent or to hire a VA, to work with a top client. There's always a risk element to it. And that risk can sometimes make us think, that's too much out of my comfort zone. I can't do that. But that's where you stay stuck. And if you can, obviously don't go crazy and spend money you haven't got. But if you can just reframe it into a learning way of doing things, then there's lots of personal growth as well as professional growth that comes from, as I said, making those leaps of faith. And they can, and I bet your business just grew as a result of making that decision to expand your office space. Your business expanded as a result. When we expand our mindset into, seeing a bigger picture, then that will be filled with some nice things, that big expanded picture. But we have to expand first within us. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen. Cal, it's been so much fun talking to you. I could talk to you for such a long time about this. But as we're coming to the end of our time together, how can our viewers and listeners find out more about you and the great work you're doing?
I don't publicize myself a lot, but if they want to talk to me personally, they can set up an appointment with me, give me a call. I'm happy to spend an hour with anybody. To just share with them with my experiences. I'm happy to help other people to grow too, other advisors to grow. Because I do have one of my first managers told me, Calvin, when you get into this business, don't think about you're competing with other financial advisors for a small pool of clients. There are not enough good financial advisors out there, financial planners out there, for everybody who needs one. So if you run into somebody who has a financial advisor already and they like their financial advisor, say good things and just let them be on their way. If they're not happy, then there's an opportunity there for you to fill their needs. So he taught me to have what you exactly said called an abundance mentality, not a scarcity mentality. There's not a scarcity of clients out there. In fact, I mean, there's been such a decrease in the number of financial advisors out there since the pandemic that and a lot of people have retired or due to law changes here in the United States, a lot of people have left the business. And so there is a great need for good financial advisors, more financial advisors to come into our industry to kind of take out, the bad ones that you hear about in the news. Your Bernie Madoffs, right, who take advantage of people. We need to encourage and help each other to grow well, especially the good ones. So I'm happy to talk to anybody. My website is www.sidfinancial.com. And so look me up, give me a call.
Fantastic. That's very generous of you. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. And for everyone who's been listening and watching, thank you so much for your company. We really appreciate it. Until next time, bye-bye for now.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Wealthy Advisor Mindset. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform to get notifications on upcoming episodes. If this episode made you think of someone who you think would benefit from listening to it, then go ahead, take a screenshot, and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends and colleagues. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description. If you are a financial advisor who is struggling to grow your AUM and profits while creating a great work-life balance, and you know it's because your mindset is stopping you, or you have a specific challenge in mind that you would love Nina's feedback on, go to chatswithnina.org and grab a time that works best for you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Once again, it's chatswithnina.org. We will see you in the next episode.